Does it ever show up? Oh. Okay. Good morning. How is everyone doing? Very good. We're going to start off with a song, 408. All have, let us sing. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, alleluia, Christ arose. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they still the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints who reign. He arose, alleluia, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints who reign. He arose, alleluia, Christ arose. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear kind, merciful Father, we are so thankful for all that you do for us on a daily basis. We're thankful for your majesty, your greatness, your power. We're thankful that you take care of so many parts of our lives and all the parts of our lives. We are alive because you are providing us the life and breath as we are speaking. And even in death, you're providing for us. And Father, we are just so thankful for all that you do for us, and we just honor you this morning, and not just this morning, but every day of our lives. And Father, we pray that as we live our lives, that since we belong to you, Father, that we live lives that represent that by the behavior that we execute on a daily basis in our decisions and the things that we say to others and how we love others, Father. And we're just so thankful, and we know that you are love, and we want to emulate you and copy off of you, Father. And We're just so thankful for your word. We're thankful for all of those that are here this morning. We're thankful for the gospel message that we have life through your son, Father. We're so thankful for the provisions that you give us in your word to teach us to know how to serve you and how to love you and how to love others. Father, we ask that you be with us this morning as we study your word and talk about the Bible this morning, Father. Help us to be concerned and to look at and consider the things that are going to be mentioned this morning. And Father, also this morning as we worship you, Father, pray that the things that we do and say, Father, they'll be in accordance to your will. Father, help us to always be humble and to recognize you as God, not only as we come to study your word and to come together, but in our lives as we leave this place today, Father, that people will know us by our behavior and that our behavior is in sync with you. Father, we ask that you be with those of our number that are dealing with health issues. Father, there are many. Father, we ask that you would be with them. We're so thankful for so many that we've prayed for, that you've answered, and it's been very positive. We're thankful to see Sister Kim here this morning. We're so appreciative of that, and we're also thankful for all of those that have recovered from surgeries, those that have been in the hospital and now they're home. Father, we are just so thankful for you answering in the positive for them. Father, we ask that you be with those of our number that are ill and are struggling in their health, but more than that, Father, those that are struggling in their faith. Father, we pray that they might be strengthened, and Father, that you also might strengthen us on every lingering side, that you might build us up, that we might be dedicated all the way to heaven, Father. We just thank you and just praise your name this morning. All these things we ask in your son Jesus' name, who died for us all. Amen. This morning we are continuing our study of the Bible. This morning, that's the topic for this morning's lesson. The world is full of many books, but only one is from heaven. It is the Bible. The Bible is the inspired word of God. The Bible is really not just one book, though. Rather, it is a collection of 66 books, 39 Old Testament books, and 27 New Testament books. They were written by approximately 40 writers over a period of some 1,500 years. Those who penned the Bible wrote as they were moved by the Spirit, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. They did not write in words of human wisdom, but words divinely taught, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. So this morning we want to look at the divisions of the Bible. In the Old Testament, we have different sections of or books of the Bible. The first section is the five books of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then you have the 12 books of history. You have Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Then you have the five books of poetry, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Then you have the five major prophets. You have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. And then you have the 12 minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. And then, of course, to the New Testament books and their divisions. You have the four Gospels, and we're all familiar with all of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the one book of history in the New Testament is, of course, the Acts of the Apostles. Then you have the 21 epistles, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and then one book of prophecy, Revelation. So what I want to do is give sort of a brief summary of each of the 66 books. So we'll start with the five books of the law. We'll start with Genesis. So Genesis, the word means beginning. It relates the account of creation in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Then you have in chapters 3 through 5 of Genesis, you have the fall of man and its consequences. And then it continues on with the flood, God's judgment on man and man's new beginning, chapters 6 through 11. And then we have the beginning of the Jewish nation, Abraham, chapters 12 through 25. And then next you have Isaac and Jacob, chapters 25 through 36. And then, of course, Joseph ending the book of Genesis, chapters 37 through 50. Who's able to keep up with those notes? I'm going really fast, huh? You guys should say, hey, Solomon, slow down. Yeah. But this is what Genesis is. It's kind of broken down into sections. I think what I'll do is try to develop an outline that I can hand out to you. Those of you that are like having PDFs or Word documents, I can send this to you. So let me know. I think I probably should have like a little sign-up sheet and see what you would have me to do for you specifically so I can get it to you. Okay, I see a lot of people shaking their heads and things like that. Okay. Does everybody have my email address? Because that's very helpful, I think. So you can say, Solomon, I want the outline for the Bible class on Sunday morning, or I didn't get those notes on Sunday morning. You were going too fast, or I was distracted. Whatever the case is, I like to hear those notes, and I can respond to you and get you the information that you may have missed, because that makes it useful, because if you don't hear what I say or you miss it, it kind of misses the point of teaching. So I want to be able to make sure that the information is distributed. Wendy? Oh, yes, that's, thank you. That's very simple there. So if you have questions, if you need lessons, just send it to the secretary, and it's at the bottom of the bulletin, secretary@VallejoChurchOfChrist.com. And I know the secretary will make sure I get it. So, yeah, she'll make sure that I'm able to get your request, and we'll be able to learn together, and you'll be able to keep up with what I'm teaching. So, and you'll have all of the information, so we can disseminate it that way. It's a lot easier. So, and for those of you that would prefer a written copy, email it and just make your request, and it'll make it simple for all of us. Hopefully I'll get into doing PowerPoint again. I've stayed away from PowerPoint for the last 20 years, so I used to do PowerPoints all the time. So, but I've stayed away from PowerPoints for a long time, but I can get back into the PowerPoints again as well. So, and perhaps that might be the way that we might have it next week. So we've looked at Genesis already. Now to Exodus. It's interesting that the children that have done the LTC, Leadership Training for Christ, every night at 9 o'clock they would read a chapter of Exodus. So I've heard a lot of Exodus over and over again since I've been back, since January when my kids signed up for LTC, 9 o'clock every night. I just love it. Kids reading the Bible together, it's awesome. But Exodus, the word means departure or an exit. It is so named because of the principal event recorded in it, the departure of the Israelites from Egypt. It relates the conditions of the Israelite slavery, chapter 1, the birth, education, and call of Moses, chapters 2 through 4, the 10 plagues upon the Egyptians, chapters 5 through 11, the Passover and the miraculous deliverance of the Israelites, chapters 12 through 15, the establishment of the law at Mount Sinai, chapters 16 through 34, and the building of the tabernacle, chapters 35 through 40. So that's Exodus. Was everybody able to capture that information? Okay. All right, on to Leviticus. Leviticus, it is so named because it contains the laws that pertain to the Levitical priest. We're talking about Leviticus. It gives the priest qualifications and duties, and it also relates the laws of the sacrifices and offerings, feast days, morals, cleanliness, foods, and vows, etc. It's a very detailed book. Who's read so far? How far have people read through the Bible so far? Anybody to Leviticus yet? Or did you do the Passover? Did you execute the Passover? Sometimes people say, I just go right over in Numbers and Deuteronomy. Some of those names are difficult to pronounce. But my suggestion in reading the Bible is there's so many people that read the Bible on Jigsaw? What somebody else say? Oh, TikTok, YouTube. That's what I'm thinking, YouTube. You can go to YouTube and you can hear the whole Bible on YouTube, and it's free. So, but there are some sites that charge you. You can buy those, but it's out there for free, and it's in different versions. And so you can hear the Bible and just follow along. So you can hear people enunciate, and sometimes they enunciate differently than others because of how different individuals view the Hebrew words and how they should be enunciated. So that's very useful in keeping you to read through the Bible through a year as you're studying it. So that's Leviticus. Now on to Numbers. Numbers, this book's name reflects the two censuses which were taken of Israel, chapters 1 and 4, and then in chapter 26. That's where the two censuses were taken. One at the beginning of the wilderness wanderings and the other at the end of 40 years of wandering. Numbers also reveals the organization of Israel in chapters 1 through 10. The wanderings in the wilderness in chapters 10 through 21. And instructions and preparations for entering the land of Canaan, chapters 22 through 36. So that's Numbers. Now, finally, the last book of the law, of the five books of the law, is Deuteronomy. The name of the book means second law. Moses reviews the history of the past generation of Israel, Deuteronomy chapters 1, 2, and 3. He admonishes the current generation to obey the law of God, chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. And then he repeats the law in chapters 5 through 11 of Deuteronomy. Then he gives some new regulations for living in Canaan in Deuteronomy chapter 12 through 28. And then he commissions Joshua to take his place, for the book records the death of Moses and his burial by God, chapters 29 through 34. So that's a lot of information kind of condensed. But reading through, if you read from Genesis all the way to end of Deuteronomy with the help of someone reading it, it'll probably take you about 6.5 hours At least that's how long it took me in preaching school. I remember it. 6 hours and 20 minutes, just about. But it's very useful to have someone else reading it and you can just follow along. Because as a preacher, I have to make sure that I'm pronouncing things correctly. But it's good to also for all of us to have the right pronunciation. Because you know that all of us sometimes have different ways that we say different words. Anybody know how to say the word axe or the word ask? But everybody knows what I'm talking about. You know, that's English for you. So there's always the different sounds that we make, but it's interesting that in English we know exactly what someone is talking about. But then we'll go on and say, you're not supposed to pronounce it like this. You're supposed to say it like this. But I say to people, I said, you know what I'm talking about. So that's beautiful that we can communicate in that format. Any questions about the five books of the law? Okay. All right. Now we're going to go on to the 12 books of history, starting with Joshua. This book bears the name of its leading character. Under Joshua, the Israelites crossed the Jordan River in Joshua chapters 1 through 4. In chapters 5 through 12, they defeated the Canaanite nations. In chapters 13 through 22, they divided the land among the tribes of Israel. In chapters 23 through 24, these last two chapters contain the farewell address and the death of Joshua. So on to Judges now. Here in Judges, this book relates the history of Israel under God's government by persons known as judges, beginning with Joshua and ending with Samuel. There were 16 judges in all. This book reveals the history of 13 of them, Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, with the help of Barak, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jair, Jephthah, Ebzen, Elon, Abdon, and Samson. The book tells how that on six occasions during the period of the judges, Israel fell away, was oppressed, repented, and was delivered. Everybody's down with got judges down? Is everybody ready for a test so far? There's always a test, but I need to send you guys the information so you'll have it. Anybody need me to repeat anything, or we keep on stepping? Okay. All right. Look at Ruth. Ruth is the next book. This book is a beautiful love story of life among the Jews. Naomi and her husband and two sons journey to Moab, where the two sons marry. After the three men die, Naomi returns to Bethlehem, and she brings Ruth, one of her daughter-in-laws, with her, according to Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, where Ruth marries Boaz, which causes her to become the grandmother of David, through whose lineage Jesus was born. So Ruth is connected to Jesus, connected to David, connected to Solomon, and so on and so forth. So Ruth, it's a really good book. I love the story of Ruth. It's beautiful. The next section is 1 and 2 Samuel. These two books tell of the change of Israel's government from judges to kings. Eli and Samuel were the last two judges. The people wanted a king, according to 1 Samuel chapter 8. The reigns of the first two kings of Israel were who? Saul and David. And so Saul and David, and these are contained in these books in 1 and 2 Samuel. Then we have the next section is 1 and 2 Kings. These two books take up where 2 Samuel ends. They give the history of the reign of Solomon, the folly of Rehoboam, and how it divided Israel, and the history of the divided kingdoms up to their captivities. So that's 1 and 2 Kings. Next, we have 1 and 2 Chronicles. These books parallel 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings. The first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles give genealogies from Adam to the end of the Babylonian captivity. The remainder of the books sets forth a panoramic view of history as it pertains to the tribe of Judah. And next we have the book of Ezra. Ezra was a priest and a scribe. This book is a record of the return of the Jews to Jerusalem from their Babylonian captivity, the rebuilding of the temple, and the restoration of worship to God, according to Ezra 7:10 and also Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And so that leads us to the book of Nehemiah. The contents of Nehemiah and Ezra overlap, but this book, Nehemiah, more specifically relates to the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, a task which was accomplished in 52 days, according to Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15. The secret of their success is found in Nehemiah 4:6, as well as Nehemiah chapter 16, verse 23. And finally, the last of these books is Esther. This book bears the name of a Jewish maiden. She became queen of the Persian Empire, and Mordecai, her uncle, became prime minister, which probably paved the way for the work of Nehemiah and Ezra. Although the name of God does not appear in this book, it, more than any other book in the Bible, demonstrates what we call the providence of God. So Esther ends the 12 books of history. And so far we've looked at the 5 books of law and the 12 books of history. Are there any questions? Anybody have questions about any of these books? All right. May I ask the question, where are you at in the Bible in your reading for this year? Anybody? Where are you reading? Or what is your favorite book in the Bible? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Verse. Okay. All right. Yes. And what does that say? Pray without ceasing. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Anyone else have a favorite verse or favorite book of the Bible or books of the Bible? Dorothy? Yeah. Man, thank you. Anyone else? Rick? Mm-hmm. Nice. Yes, exactly. Exactly. You can hear the Okay. But it's found on Prime. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And just look up Acts. It's DVD quality at best, but you can still see it and the sound is good. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? James. Okay. James. Yep. James is a nice book. Very good book. I think the ladies are going to start studying that on Mondays at Ann's home. So, yep. Anyone else? Okay. All right. So now we'll go to the 5 books of poetry. The first is Job. You have Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. But Job, the central theme of this book is the problem of suffering. Job was a perfect and upright man, according to Job chapter 1, verse 8, and Job 2, verse 3. He was an upright man whom God allowed Satan to tempt by taking away all he had and afflicting him with extreme physical suffering, according to Job chapter 1, verse 9 through 19, as well as Job chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. In all of this, Job did not sin, according to Job 1, verse 22, and Job chapter 2, verse 10. Following an exchange of speeches between Job and his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, which takes up most of the book, chapters 4 through 31, and then the desertion of Elihu, a young man who had been listening, chapters 32 through 37 of Job. And then God answers Job and vindicates him, Job chapters 38 through 41. And then Job's possessions, family, and health was restored, chapter 42. That's a nice ending to all of that suffering. And so that saying, trouble doesn't last always, is definitely a call for that. So that's Job. The next you have is Psalms. The book is a collection of 150 poems and songs by David, the sons of Korah, Asaph, Solomon, and others, which were used in the worship to God. David wrote about half of the Psalms. The next you have is Proverbs. A proverb is simply a short, pithy, or axiomatic saying, the life of which is antitheses or comparisons. And that was a reference from Haley's Bible Handbook, page 269. This book of Proverbs, this is a collection of about 900 proverbs on such topics as temperance, righteousness, justice, purity, wisdom, prudence, industry, sin, etc. Most of them were written by Solomon. Proverbs is one of the books that I really enjoy reading. As a young man in my teens, I would continually read chapters 1 through 10. I would choose to read one every night before I put my head down, said my prayers. But it was good to just go back and forth, chapters 1 through 10, and I just repeat, because they were very useful for me as a young man, not only in high school and junior high, but also going off to the Army. They were very useful. I remember many years ago I was at a workshop in Colorado, and one of the preachers that was there, he had recommended that us young preachers, that we read through the book of Proverbs every month. Some months don't have 31 days in it, but just keep reading it. Read a proverb a day. Keep the devil away. So reading Proverbs is very useful because you're filling your mind with the Word of God, and it's very helpful. Very helpful to read the Proverbs. So that's one of my favorites. But I also like Ecclesiastes as well. Ecclesiastes, the name of this book means preacher or teacher. And it was always interesting. My dad called me preacher. I'd come in from school and he would usually quote one of the verses, or he would say, and sitting down they watched him there. And that's from Matthew. But he would say that because when I was a young kid in West Oakland, the preacher one day asked me to do a reading, and he gave me this short verse, and I was like, okay, wow. And sitting down, they watched him there. And I was like, that's it? But then, of course, the preacher expounded on that as he preached for almost an hour on it. But my dad would always greet me with, and sitting down, they watched him there. Because he knew I was going to be a preacher. And so I'd always get that greeting when I come home from school. But I love Ecclesiastes. So the name of this book means preacher or teacher. Although the author is not named, the internal evidence point rather definitely to Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1, as well as Ecclesiastes verse 1, 12. Solomon tried everything seeking happiness, but all was vanity. And the word vanity occurs about 37 times in Ecclesiastes. His conclusion in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 is, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man," or the whole duty of man, depending on which version you study out of. Then the next is Song of Solomon. This book is a love song between a man and a woman, highly figurative in its language. And so you have the five books of poetry: Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. The next we have is the five major prophets. We have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Isaiah, he is known as the Messianic prophet. God has a remnant, and it has a glorious future. In Jeremiah, he is known as a weeping prophet. Jerusalem, sin, doom, and future glory. Then Lamentations, the author there is also Jeremiah. It is a funeral dirge over the desolation of Jerusalem. Then we have another major prophet, Ezekiel. This book tells of the fall of Jerusalem, its restoration, and a glorious future. And then finally, Daniel. Daniel was written while the Jews were in Babylonian captivity. This book tells of the four worldwide empires and God's everlasting kingdom. So there we've looked at the five major prophets: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, as well as Daniel. All right, how's everybody doing? Everybody keeping up? Okay. All right, very good. Keep looking up here at the back. I left my watch or my phone in my office, and I don't see a time. What time is it? What is it? 10:38. Okay, all right, all right. Okay, so we do have a little time to deal with the 12 minor prophets. But are there any questions at this point? Anyone have any questions? Yes, Mark? Yes. Yeah, so you can access everything that I'm saying on the church's website. You said on YouTube as well? Okay. All right, so you can access all of this. And you can get it verbatim, so you can access it that way. All right. So the 12 minor prophets are Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So the first is Hosea, and this is the prophecy of this book states that apostate Israel is to be cast off and other nations to be called in. That's sort of the picture of Hosea. And then as we look at Joel, this book is a vision of the gospel age and the ingathering of the nations. Then next we have Amos, another minor prophet. This book announces the apostasy and wickedness of Israel and its certain doom, but reveals the future glory of David's kingdom. Then the next minor prophet of the 12 is Obadiah. This book prophesies that the nation of Edom shall utterly perish. And then we have the book of Jonah. We all are familiar with Jonah. This book chronicles an errand of mercy to Nineveh by its title character. Then we have Micah. In this book, the impending fall of Israel and Judah is prophesied. It also speaks of the Messiah to be born at Bethlehem and his universal reign. Then we have Nahum. This book declares the doom of Nineveh, the capital of the nation of Assyria. Then Habakkuk. This book gives assurance of the ultimate triumph for the children of God. And next we have Zephaniah. Zephaniah is the book that declares the great day of God is coming. The people of God are to then be called by a new name. And the next minor prophet is Haggai. This book encourages the rebuilding of the temple after the Babylonian captivity. It forecasts a more glorious temple in the future. And then the last two of the minor prophets is Zechariah and Malachi. Zechariah also encouraging the rebuilding of the temple. This book contains visions of the coming Messiah and his universal kingdom. And then, of course, Malachi, the book, is a final Old Testament message to a disobedient nation. Now, a question for you. Why do you think they call it major prophets and minor prophets? Yes? Okay. Okay. Yep. So, as he said, the difference between major and minor prophets is the length of the writing. A major prophet is a longer writing, and a minor prophet is just a short writing. So, oh, I can see it, Mike. Thanks. I love it. Yep. Are there any questions? All right. So next week, Lord's willing, we will begin by looking at the New Testament books and their divisions, looking at the four Gospels, looking at the one book of history, and the 21 epistles, and then, of course, the book of prophecy, Revelation. Thank you for your time this morning.